Okay, we've got it going. Hi, Sid Anna, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am great. So we just met kind of virtually when you reached out to me to let me know about your flower farm in Squim, Washington. So you're just a stone's throw from Seattle. I've got to come out and visit you next summer.
Yeah, that would be great. It's a really a nice trip on the ferry. You come to Bainbridge and then come over that way.
Absolutely. So tell me your story of how you stumbled into flower farming, and I'm guessing a second career or something like that.
That's right. You know, it was kind of one of those things where you dream about owning a bookstore someday or having a flower farm. You know, I remember seeing a flower farm on Orcas Island years ago when I took my kids camping there. And but the opportunity just kind of presented itself to me when I saw an article in the paper saying that the Cutting Garden was closing down their U-cut field, which is almost an acre of flowers.
Wow. And, I've heard about the mixes, but I never visited. So had they owned the Cutting Garden for a long time?
They still do. They have, I think, about 14 acres, which they live on, and then they have a house that they use as a venue,
mm-hmm.
a yellow farmhouse, and they have these beautiful display gardens. But they just, Catherine is an artist, and she's just moving more into painting and teaching painting and changing the yellow farmhouse into an art center.
I see. So,
so they didn't want to work.
Right.
You cut any longer.
So you read about it
and said, how would you like to lease it to me?
Hmm.
And so we did that for the first year.
So was that 2013 or 2014?
2013. I actually started 2 years ago in 2012. I started in the fall, you know, when the whole acre had to be cut back and composted.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So you're growing, you've been growing on leased land for two seasons, I guess.
That's right.
And it's about 1 acre total?
Yeah, about three-fourths of an acre of flowers, and then there's a greenhouse and a hoop house also.
Wow. And you are growing for florists, for U-Pick, or you're doing a lot of wedding design work, right?
I started doing wedding design. At the time when I took over, there was a florist working there with Catherine, and I just learned a lot from both of them. And I spent a lot, you know, I spent that whole first winter researching and learning, and because I'm a gardener, but, you know, I'm not a specialist in flowers, I wasn't even sure I'd be able to really do it. But
it's a different set of skills than just being a gardener. I've learned that too.
But I did used to work, you know, I did grow up on a farm, and I did a lot of physical work in my 20s.
Mm.
And so, you know, I do have those muscles. I just had to be kind of retrained gradually to get to the point where I could do, you know, 6 hours or more of really physical work every day.
Yeah, absolutely. So now you've renamed it Annie's Flower Farm, and what is your season? Are you open for U-Pick, or are you?
Well, the U-Pick is great because people can come there, and it's on our honor system.
Oh, wow.
And you know, that was the main reason I wanted to do it, was just sort of to keep this in the community because so many people love to go there.
Mm.
And then I also do weddings, and I sometimes arrange all the flowers. Sometimes I do a partial DIY where the bride and her friends arrange some of the flowers. Sometimes it's all DIY. I do sell to florists, and I do restaurants. I do flowers for a restaurant called Alderwood, which focuses all local food.
Wow.
And I sell in grocery stores. You know, in May and June, that's a really good start to my season, when I can sell a lot of peony bouquets in grocery stores.
That's pretty impressive in 2 years, Sid Anna. that is such a pretty name, by the way. I just love it. Does it combine, like, your father's name and your mother's name, or?
Well, my father named me, but if I was going to be a boy, it was going to be a different name. my father was Stan, and my mother is Artist.
Oh, okay. It's so pretty. No one will forget you after they meet you because, that's so distinctive. But I am impressed that in two seasons, you're describing the type of business that a more mature cut flower firm would achieve in maybe 5 years. So do you think it's partly that you kind of picked up where the cutting garden left off and you had some momentum?
Absolutely. I mean, I just was able to go in and take over this established garden where this huge variety, enormous variety of flowers was being grown. And I think even for a flower farmer, Catherine grew all kinds of really amazing and different flowers. And, you know, everything in there is a good cut flower, and she taught me the importance of, you know, what's a good cut flower and what isn't. And, I mean, she just let me, she let me do it on my own, but if I was making any mistakes, you know, she would let me know, and that worked out well.
That's wonderful. It's like a perfect apprenticeship where you are transitioning your, you know, from an established owner to a new owner, but have you have that safety net.
Right.
So now,
I tried everything to see. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the things that didn't work out is I still do a lot of seed saving. I mean, the first year, for the annuals, I replicated Catherine's seed order, and that was, you know, $700. So
that was a big bite.
Yeah, among other things. And so I, you know, do a lot of seed saving, and initially I thought I would sell seeds, but that was just way too labor intensive.
Mm-hmm.
And I
so
have
really,
a PSA, and that's just kind of getting off the ground.
Yeah, I'm looking at your website right now, and I see all the features that you have. Yeah, so it sounds like the seed saving is really just for your own replanting the following season.
Yeah, and it works great. And I just have to, you know, remind myself I don't need, you know, a bushel of seeds. I only need a little jar.
I know. Isn't that true? Well, I can't believe you're growing over 200 varieties of cut flowers, too. That's pretty amazing. Are they mostly annuals?
They're about 25% of them are annuals. And then that's more perennials.
Mm-hmm.
Beloved dahlias, and peonies, and just, you know, all kinds of different types of flowers, gabiosa.
So now I just started to say earlier and I cut you off, but now you are in a situation where in order to keep your farm going, you actually have to move it because the land is not going to be available for you next year. Is that correct?
Well, they initially wanted to turn it back to pasture and just not have it over there to worry about anymore. And, you know, me leasing it kind of put that on hold for a little while, but that's ultimately what they want to do. So I found some more leased land just 4 miles west on the same road. Some people that have, you know, a lot of pasture, they always wanted to see someone work part of it. So they're willing to let me do that. And I don't have a lot of resources. I don't have financial resources of my own.
Right, right. Is it expensive to lease the land, or cover that? Can you cover that cost?
You know, when you're doing flower farm, you don't really have. It's not like a really profitable business. So I don't really pay more than. There's an organic farmer here in one of them called Nash's.
Mm-hmm.
They lease about 700 acres, or they actually lease more than that, but they farm 700 acres. And, you know, I pay what they pay, which is a pretty nominal amount.
For leasing the land.
For leasing the land per
right.
acre, yeah.
So relocating is not really increasing your leasing costs, but now you're trying to raise money to for a loan to purchase the equipment that has been on the cutting garden, including the hoop house, greenhouse, irrigation, and also the plants. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. All of the plants. And that's, you know, about 30 100-foot rows of perennials.
Wow. That's amazing. We're not discussing
I already have a lot of, mm-hmm. I mean, I started collecting them when, you know, when the Misses first started downsizing their display garden, you know, we had a plant sale. She would always have a plant sale. So we had a plant sale together. But in general, she just, you know, put a lot of it in the compost. And I said, can I have stuff from the compost?
Mm-hmm.
So I started collecting all these, you know, root balls. I didn't even know what they were. And then I bought some topsoil, you know, $20 for a pickup load of just green topsoil. And I started potting them up, you know, over the winter. And then in the spring, I had all these amazing surprises.
Oh, wow.
And so I have, you know, already have an inventory of about, you know, 600 potted plants, things that I've been keeping going all summer.
Mm-hmm.
And,
so you want to get them into
the
ground.
And then one of my responsibilities at my lease was to dig up any rogue plants, you know, volunteers. So instead of putting those in the compost as they would have done previously, I would pot those up too.
So you have, you've got this land you're leasing, and now you're trying to raise money, which is through KivaNet.org. And can you describe that this is, because I did an Indiegogo campaign to raise money for Slow Flowers. That money was, I guess, there's no strings attached. It wasn't a loan. They were donations. It's sort of like public radio where people would make a donation and get some kind of perk that might have been, you know, note cards or a T-shirt or all the way up to sponsorship, you know, on the Sunflower site. Kiva is a nonprofit that supports entrepreneurs with zero interest loans. And does this mean that people make contributions to Kiva and then for your campaign, and then that will generate a loan that ultimately you'll pay back over time? Or is that
your
response?
That's right. Instead of crowdfunding like Kickstarter, it's kind of like crowd lending.
Okay, and then you had to be endorsed to be picked up by Kiva. They don't just, it's not as easy as it sounds to get into this program.
Yeah, I was in. They have trustees who endorse loans, and I was endorsed by the Greenhorns, which is a nonprofit they're in Hudson, New York, and they connect new farmers and support them. They have things going all across the country. They're just a really dynamic group.
Wow.
So I was really honored to be endorsed by them.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a real vote of confidence in what you're doing to be singled out by them, because it's not like they endorse.
Well, and they know how important flowers are to feed, you know, not just bees, but all of the other beneficial insects.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And,
okay, so now you're trying to raise about $10,000, and you have this campaign ends on November 6th, so you've just got a little bit more than a week to go, right?
That's right. I think I have 9 more days, whatever that is.
Okay. And when you emailed me yesterday, or maybe the day before, you said you had 110 lenders, and you'd raised about $3,000, and you have $7,000 to go. So where are you at right now?
Right now I'm at 33%.
Okay.
And I get a few lenders every day, but you know, at this rate, my loan will be funded if it went on indefinitely, which, you know, wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
I'd be funded by January.
Oh,
but
we need to step it up.
I need to increase the amount I'm raising every day, and the terms of the loan are 36 months with a 6-month grace period. So when people go to my link, their contribution to my loan is actually matched. If there's someone that comes in through my invitation link,
mm-hmm.
then the amount that they give is doubled by an anonymous, you know,
I saw
member.
That. I saw that. I made a donation yesterday, and it said my amount was going to be doubled. And that's pretty exciting, too. And the bonus is that people will get their investment back.
Right.
In the next 3 years.
And it's just, it's kind of neat, you know, now that I first learned about the Kiva.org program through, and the Greenhorns doing it, through the Washington State Extension newsletter from
mm-hmm.
Jefferson County, which is the next county over from Clallam County.
Mm-hmm. Where Port Townsend is,
you know,
right?
So, I mean, it came from a really reputable source. And now that I'm, you know, part of the community, I've become a lender too. You know, you can lend as little as $5. So,
wow.
And
well,
I think the maximum you can lend is $500.
Well,
but it's,
I'm
so,
looking,
it's
yeah.
so cool to see all these. I mean, it mostly started in Kenya, and now they're doing, they're lending to farmers and other small businesses in the U.S. And it's just really fun to see all the different loans and the different ways that they've helped different people.
Well, it looks like you have people who have contributed to this loan from Europe, South America, and Australia, as well as North America. And you probably don't even know all of these people.
Yeah, it's really wonderful. I mean, my daughter was looking at all of my lenders, and she was just so amazed, you know, that all these people all around the world are interested in what I'm doing.
Wow. Well, we got to get more people interested. Let me ask you this. I know that some of these crowdfunding campaigns have restrictions, such as if you don't raise your campaign goal, you don't get to use the money. Is Akiva like that? Are you penalized if you don't raise the $9,800 you're trying to raise?
That's right. You have to raise the full amount, or you don't get the funding.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I want to help you get the word out. I guess having been through one of these campaigns before, I know how much work it is, and I really admire you for doing it. But I really just gave some wonderful perks to my contributors. I didn't have to give them the money back in the future. So you have so much credibility with what you're doing. You're not asking for a handout. You're asking for a loan that will be paid back as your business grows, and that's incredibly admirable. And it's just a good model that people should check out. And like you said, give $5. It's the cost of going to Starbucks. So let's help out a flower farmer.
Yeah, and even if they just give $5, it increases the popularity of my loan on the website. And so that, in turn, increases my visibility on the website. So it really is a big help, even if it's only $5.
Wow. Well, Danny, I am so happy to meet you, and I'm going to come visit you next summer in your new land. And in the meantime, I just want to help get the word out about what you're doing. So we'll put this on my website and also on all my social platforms, but I'll also link to Annie's Flower Farm website so people can see your flowers, see your design work, which is exquisite, and see how mature your business is, even though you're kind of 2 years old. It's pretty exciting.
Oh, thank you so much, Deborah. I really, really am honored.
Well, absolutely, because I know we all live in this world of paying it forward, and you are going to be helping another farmer in the future because of what you've learned through this process. So just congratulations, and let's think positive in the next, if you raise, you could only need to raise about $75 a day over the next 9 days, and you'd have the remaining balance that you need, which is, what is it, like $6,485.
That's right.
Great. All right. Well, I'm going to post this, and we'll do an update at the end of the campaign to let people know what happens. It sounds like you're moving forward whether or not you get the loan right away or not.
That's right. That's right. I really want to save all those plants that are over there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's crazy. That alone is going to make people want to help you, because nobody in the gardening world wants to see a plant go in the compost bin when it doesn't need
to.
Great. Well,
okay, thank you.
Yes, Savannah, so great to meet you. And I've been talking with Savannah Sherwood of Annie's Flower Farm in Squim, Washington, which is on the Olympic Peninsula. And you can find her at Annie's, A-N-N-I-E-S, no apostrophe, anniesflowerfarm.com. And also you can find links to her Kiva campaign on her site, and I will put this on deborahprinzing.com on my show notes. So sending you a bouquet of good wishes over the line, and we'll do an update when the campaign ends.
Okay.
Great.
Bye-bye, Deborah.
Good talking to you. Bye-bye.